thank you guys so much for coming out to the Axis of Evil. Let me ask, how many people have a Middle Eastern heritage here tonight in our crowd? Wow. It's great to see so many Middle Eastern people coming together in one place voluntarily. Really. We want to thank everyone who's come out to support us, the Iranians slash Persians, Arabs, white people, FBI, ATF, Homeland Security. Homeland Security. The cameras are for Comedy Central. It's a big sting operation. Thanks for being a part of it. And we got you. So I just flew in from New York yesterday for this show. I'm so happy to be here. It's the first time, though, I had to go through the new security screening. We have to put all your liquids in a little plastic bag. I'm sure people have been through this now. Because terrorists allegedly are going to mix fluids together on the plane and build a bomb. Let me ask this. Don't you think you'd get a little bit suspicious if you're sitting on the plane and you look next to you, the guy's got 10 bottles with different fluids on his tray table. He's got goggles on and gloves and a Bunsen burner. He keeps pouring and closing his eyes. And he looks at you, he's like, do you have any lemon juice or turpentine or something? Whenever you hear these plots, you know as a Middle Easterner, it's going to make your life more difficult, isn't it? I mean, I think more people would rather fly with snakes on the plane than Middle Eastern people at this point. But to keep us safe, we've got a thing called the Patriot Act. Everyone's heard of the Patriot Act. Remember we had a thing called freedoms at one point? Now we have the Patriot Act. You know what's amazing? Like, and I got to say this honestly, as someone of Middle Eastern heritage, it's really important we catch terrorists as Americans, and also it makes our lives obviously so much more difficult if someone's Middle Eastern does something. But do you guys know, under the Patriot Act, any book you take out of any public library, the government can find out the name of that book? Do you actually think guys in Al-Qaeda are going to public libraries and taking books out? Are they going, okay, we've been planning this for years, but we need a book. And we're like $30 over budget, okay? It's me, I had an impulse buy, okay. Omar, will you go to the library and try not to look suspicious? And he walks in, he goes, hello, Miss Liberian, how are you? I was looking for a book for me and the guys in our club. Do you have a book on how do you say waging a jihad against the infidel dog? Is there a holy war section out here someplace? Honestly, do you really think there are books in the library, titles that would give guys in Al-Qaeda away? Like, I'm Al-Qaeda, you're Al-Qaeda? Or chicken soup for the terrorist soul? It scares me. The government wants to know what you're reading. President Bush wants to know what you're reading. You know why? He's jealous. I'm not saying he can't read. I'm just saying he probably prefers others reading to him, okay? He had moved up slightly the last few months in the approval ratings, but as of last week, new poll, he's fallen back to a 34% approval rating. Statistically, to put it in perspective, herpes has a higher approval rating right now than President Bush. E. coli is gaining on the man, okay? Spinach is going to beat him any day, I'm pretty sure. Now, I have problems with him policy-wise, but he is funny at times as a president. I mean, he says, I don't know how most people say Al-Qaeda or Al-Qaeda, right? Listen to President Bush, I'm not exaggerating. He now says Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda, it's gone from a Middle East terrorist group to a Mexican restaurant. He's like, be on the lookout for Al-Qaeda. Their head chef, Jose Bin Laden, he makes an evil chimichanga. So, as I mentioned, I'm from Eastern Palestine, also known as New Jersey. And I'm from New Jersey. I have mixed heritage. My father is Palestinian. My mother is Italian. And for the non-Italians here, maybe you can relate to being Italian. Have you at least been to the Olive Garden? You ever want a tank top to a job interview? Just my mom, fair enough. Now, my last name is Obidala. I know many people in here can relate to this for the non-Middle Eastern people. Do you know what it's like being of Arab heritage with a Muslim last name living in America the last few years? I could use a hug. It is so weird. Before 9/11, I'm just a white guy living like a typical white guy life. All my friends had names like Monica and Chandler and Joey and Ross. I go to bed September 10th, white, wake up September 11th, I'm an Arab. And it's weird to be Arab in a different world. It's a place where people say things to my face about my own heritage. I think one of the best ways to explain what it's like to be Arab American now is to share with you some of the comments people have said to me about my own heritage to my face. And I've actually written them down in this notebook, together with the name and address of each person who said it. But these are actual, I'm not exaggerating, these are actual comments people have said when I tell them I'm Arab. Oh, you're Arab, wow, I love hummus. Oh, you're Arab, okay, nothing more. Oh, you're Arab, ah, that's exotic. Yeah, like kiwi, you know? I'm sweet, tasty, a little hairy. Oh, you're Arab. Why are your people so angry all the time? Caffeine? I don't know what to tell you. Oh, you're Arab, but you look so nice. This one makes little sense, but I've heard this several times. Oh, you're Arab. What a coincidence. I love Indian food. Mine said, well, you look pretty white. I understand how I look, but it's my last name, Obidala, that gets attention. A friend said, well, why don't you translate it into the English translation? Maybe no one will pick up my ethnic heritage during these difficult times. Let me share with you literally what Obidala means. You tell me it'll help. Obidala translates into servant of Allah. That's not helping at all, is it, folks? Dean, servant of Allah? How difficult would it be for me to make airline flight reservations for the rest of my entire life? Call American Airlines. Hi, 2 tickets to L.A. Name? Oh, Mr. Servant of Allah. Okay, hang on. Let me transfer to the correct department. FBI. It's been so difficult at times, honestly, being of Arab heritage in this post-9/11 world. I've actually wished that the drug companies in America would have come out with a medication like a Paxil or Zoloft just for Arabs at this time. I could turn on TV, it's like, hello, are you depressed because no one wants to fly in the same plane as you? Are you anxious because you resemble several people on the government's most wanted list? Are you angry because every time you go to the airport, you are randomly selected for extra screening? You get randomly selected even when you're just dropping a friend off at the airport? Do you just want to be treated like a white person again? Then you need Arabagon. The first medication designed especially for Arab Americans in the post-9/11 world. Arabagon goes right to work. Within days, your facial and body hair will stop growing. That goes for Arab men and women. Within weeks, you'll no longer use words like Habibi or my friend. Instead, you'll start saying words like pal, chief, and amigo. And Arabagon comes in great flavors you'll love, including hummus, falafel, and lamb. Side effects include loss of Arab identity, pretending to be Puerto Rican, dry mouth, and diarrhea. After 9/11, honestly, I was nostalgic for my childhood. You know, when I grew up, being Arab was just like viewed as people were curious about it. I grew up in a place called Lodi, New Jersey, where there were literally two ethnic groups when I was growing up in Lodi. You were either Italian or you were my father. That was the town. And my dad has an accent because he's born in the Middle East. The kids from Jersey, I'm sure you've seen The Sopranos, they have that accent. And when they met, the fun would begin. They meet my dad, they're like, yo, Mr. Obidala, what's going on? How you doing? What's going on? My dad looks at them, I don't know, what is going on? My wife tells me nothing. Dean, what is it? Are things going down? Please, somebody tell me what it is. And the Jersey kids would look at me, your dad has such a freaking weird accent. Where is he from? Like, well, he was born in Palestine. And they're like, oh, Southern Jersey. Like, no, the Middle East. They're like, oh, like Ohio? Okay, sure, why not, Ohio? And my father is Muslim and my mom is Christian. And I was raised exposed to both religions. And my dad, this is completely true, would come to church with us on Christmas and Easter to be part of the family. And he took communion one time ever. And he comes back and I look at him, I go, what do you think of communion? He looks at me, he goes, it needs more salt. I said, Dad, it's not a snack, it's the body of Christ. He goes, this I understand. Why it does not taste better, I do not get, okay? You can't have like a nacho flavor or a baklava, something fun for everybody, you know? I think the problem is that people are afraid of us because they don't know really who we are. I mean, honestly, there are basically two news stories about us. And it's no one's fault, but there are. There's the bad story where we're described as militant gunman and terrorist, and then the occasional positive one where we're described as alleged militant gunman or terrorist. I'm jealous. We don't get a whole month that celebrates our heritage like other groups in America, like African Americans, Black History Month, Asians, Asian Awareness Month, Hispanic Awareness Month. What do we get? Orange Alert. Not what we want. And I'll tell you this, even the most open-minded people, you've been conditioned by the media to be afraid of people who have accents. And I can show you, I can say the same thing with or without a Middle Eastern accent. It can change the whole meaning. Why? If I go, hey, wait till Friday night. We've been planning this for months. People be talking about this for years. It could be a party, right? If I go, wait till Friday night. We've been planning this for months. People be talking about this for years. Scary, right? It's scary because sadly you're all racists, okay? And our world has changed. And I'll tell you, I always tell people, I'm not white now anymore. And they go, well, you look white, I understand. But white to me in America is not skin color, it's status. It's the way you're treated in society. And let's put it this, thank you, my one friend. And, but let me put it this way. This difference between us and white people is white people never suffer as a group when a few people do something bad in their group. You know, Middle Eastern people do. And honestly, white people, let's be honest, done your fair share of bad things. Corporate scandals, presidential assassinations, NASCAR, Paris Hilton, country music. That is audio terrorism to me, my friend. And then people aren't satisfied enough. Racial profiling of Arabs and Middle Eastern people is not enough. Now, have you heard this? They want to do religious profiling of Muslims at the airport. But it's not in your passport. So is now TSA officials going to throw in a little question here and there to figure out your religion? They'll start out subtly like, oh, did you pack your own bag? What do you think of pork? If I drew a cartoon of Muhammad, would you get mad? When I say Mecca, do you think of a holy place or an urban clothing line? Or maybe they'll have like a huge ham sandwich at the checkpoint. If you don't bite it, extra screening. We are so racially profiled now. And I specifically say Arabs because of this expression. I've heard this expression on TV. People have said now, Arabs are the new blacks. Because law enforcement is now focused on Arabs over blacks. I'm going to be honest. When I heard the expression, Arabs are the new blacks, I was excited. I'm like, oh my God, we're cool. White kids in the suburbs in the OC and Jersey, instead of acting black to be cool, start acting Arab with their friends. Dressing Arab. Wearing like a traditional Arab headdress, tilted to the side to be cool. Open shirt, gold chain, smelling like lamb. Walking up to each other going, what up, Mustafa? Where are my Arabs at? Arab, please. White kids pimping their cars to look like taxi cabs. But you know what? Arabs and new blacks makes no sense whatsoever. That doesn't mean anything. You know what, sadly? Arabs, Middle Eastern people, Muslims in America, we are the new enemy. We've replaced the Soviet Union. And we are stuck here till somebody replaces us. That's why I'm begging all of you to help me taunt North Korea as much as possible. In it won't take much. Kim Jong-il, the North Korean leader, is crazy. He wants attention. He's like the middle child of the Axis of Evil, this guy. Have you seen him with the big glasses and the hair? He's like a James Bond villain, you know, like petting the cats and stuff. And I got an idea to get Bush interested. We tell Bush, Kim Jong-il, he's got tons of oil in his hair. So, well, before I go, I can only hope that, I mean, we all hope people understand us more. And I also hope, selfishly, for peace in the Middle East. I have a lot of uncles and cousins who live in the West Bank. I'm sure other people have family there, or they're tied to the region by religion. And I so believe that if Ehud Olmert, the Prime Minister of Israel, and Abu Mazen, the President of the Palestinian people, made peace, one, they get the Nobel Peace Prize. That's a given. I also think they would get commercial endorsements worldwide as a result. Hear me out. One day you turn on TV and say, hello, I am Ehud Olmert, and I am Abu Mazen. For over 50 years, our people have fought each other tooth and nail. In fact, we hated each other very much. But through it all, we've always agreed on one thing, the great taste of Miller Lite. Less filling, tastes great. Less filling, tastes great. Ah, now we fight only about beer. You guys, thank you very much. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming out.
Come on, sir.
Hi.
Ooh. Wait, you're supposed to take off your jacket, but I'll do a body search for you. Ooh, yeah. Middle Eastern George Clooney.
This is uncomfortable.
Ooh.
Is this, that's not necessary, is it?
Yes, it is, honey. Go on through.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Heartland, I'm Adam.
Well, thanks for coming out to the Axis of Evil comedy tour. My name is Ahmed Ahmed. We have Dean Abdullah, who's Palestinian. Aaron Kader is Palestinian. Maz Jobrani is Iranian. Yeah. We're still looking for a North Korean. So if you know any, we're auditioning tomorrow afternoon. Next year, we're going to do the Axis of Evil comedy tour, the musical, on ice. So look out for that. I heard Dean earlier ask how many Middle Eastern people were here. How many white people are here tonight? White people. Welcome to our meeting. This is going to be fun. I gotta say, it's a bad time to be from the Middle East. In fact, I read a statistic on CBS.com that said right after 9/11, hate crimes against Arabs and Middle Eastern people and Muslims went up over 1,000%. Yeah, which apparently still put us in fourth place behind blacks, gays, and Jews. You guys know this? We're still in fourth place. So what do we have to do? I mean, we can't even win in hatred. I want to be number one in something. Such a bad time. I got to fly to London at the end of the month, and I hate flying because my name's on like 9 lists. I Googled my name, and it matches the name of a guy in the Middle East who's a terrorist. I think he's in the Middle East Googling me going, there's this guy in America, man. People go up to him, hey man, you're so funny telling me a joke. I'm not the comedian. I'm a terrorist. Want me to prove it to you? I'll blow myself up right now, I swear. I hate flying though, because I always have to go through the TSA. They always stop me and go, Mr. Ahmed, we're gonna have to pat down your midsection. So I always look at him and I go, promise? Whenever I get on a plane, I always know who the air marshal is. Yeah, it's always the guy sitting there holding the People magazine upside down, looking right at me. I went to hotwire.com to order a ticket online. Anybody ever use hotwire.com? That's a shady website. They make you purchase your ticket first, then they tell you what airline you're flying out on, and what time you fly out. So I purchased a ticket, and it turns out I had to fly out at like 4:30 in the morning on like Zimbabwe Air, stop over in Bangladesh and sit next to farm animals. And they ask you all these questions on the website, like, are you prepared to swim? It's like, are
you prepared to what?
Can you operate a parachute? This conversation never happened. Went online and ordered a ticket on Southwest Airlines. Anybody ever go to Southwest Airlines? They are cheap. They're so cheap, when I got on the plane, the pilot asked me for gas money. That's how cheap they are. All right? Only reason I fly Southwest is because they don't check Middle Eastern people. Try it. Every time I fly Southwest, well, Mr. Ahmed, you're Arab and you're Muslim, huh? Go ahead. We'll probably crash before you do anything. Go ahead. I watch a lot of the news, man. I love watching the Middle Eastern people on the news talk about what's going on in the Middle East, because all Middle Eastern people always start each sentence with, the damn United States of America, they come into our country and they bomb our... Just finish the sentence, Mustafa! I got to go to Dubai. I did comedy in Dubai. That's a Muslim city. And anybody ever been to Dubai? Here in Dubai? Have you? How cool is that place? It's a little decadent for me, a little opulent for me. The guy, the Amir, the guy who runs the whole city, he has the only 7-star hotel in the whole wide world in Dubai. When critics asked who gave it 7 stars, he was like, I give it 7 stars. It's a schizophrenic place, because you walk down to the beach and you'll see Muslim women wearing hijab. Then you'll see European men in Speedos. You'll see a mosque, and right across the street from the mosque, there's a nightclub. So right around 8 o'clock every night, all you hear is, Allah Akbar,
I don't know, I'm so confused. Should I go pray or should I go dance? I'm not quite sure. Oh, please, God, help me with your Arabic accent. Please.
Muslims would come up to me and go, Ahmed,
I don't like it when you joke about Islam, okay? That is haram, that is against God. Yeah, I'll take a Heineken. Like I was saying.
Just hypocrites. I asked the audience when I went to Dubai, I said, how many Muslims are here? They were like, I go, how many are you practicing? They were like, it's like, you know you're a Muslim when you drink, gamble, have sex, but you won't eat pork. That's the weirdest thing. You won't eat pork. See, I live in Los Angeles, California. There aren't any Muslims in Los Angeles, California. A lot of Jews. Any Jews here?
The producers are Jews.
You're gonna get me fired. All my friends are like, hey man, how do you have so many Jewish friends? What about the Jews and the Muslims and the war and hate and all that? Tell me about that, huh? I'm like, look, if you think about it, both Jews and Muslims have more in common than any other religion ever. Both Jews and Muslims don't eat pork. We don't celebrate Christmas. We both use in our pronunciation. We both yell on the phone when there's no emergency. Yeah. The only difference between Muslims and Jews is that Jews never like to spend any money, and Muslims never have any money to spend. That's the only difference between the Muslims and the Jews. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I love living in Hollywood because I've been blessed to work with great people, and I stopped doing acting a long time ago, and I got into comedy because in the acting world, they always stereotype you. Like, I was always cast to play the terrorist. Imagine that. I was in a movie a while back where I played a terrorist, and the movie was about a bunch of terrorists who hijack an airplane. Imagine that. My agent called me and said, we should go in and read for this part. I said, what's the part? She said, terrorist number 4. Because number 1, 2, and 3 went to a black guy, a gay guy, and a Jew. Number four. Didn't even want to go in on the role. My agent said, go in and read for this part. I said, all right, I'll just go in and meet the director. So I go and meet the director, the casting director. I read my lines over the top because I just wanted to have fun with it. The director went nuts. He was like, okay, do it one more time. Sit down. You want to obey? Or I'll kill you in the name of Allah. He sat there. He was like, brilliant. That's exactly what you're looking for, Ahmed. I want to see you do it again, but this time give me a little bit more of that Middle Eastern. You know how your people are very. So I was like, angry? Yes, exactly. Use that hidden Middle Eastern anger that your people possess. So I used my hidden Middle Eastern anger that my people possess. And I got the part. My agent called me the next day, said they want to put you in this movie. I was like, I wasn't even trying for the role. I was making fun of it. She said, whatever you did, it worked. They want to put you in this film. I said, look, tell them. I said, thanks, but no thanks. Every time I take a part like this, it's like feeding the beast. It's like putting fuel on the flame. No way. Yeah. Thank you. And then she said, well, they want to pay you $30,000 for a week of work. So I was like, burn it all down. So now we're doing the comedy, making fun of what's going on in the Middle East. We have to laugh at ourselves, I think, right, people? We have to laugh at ourselves. I'm watching the news too, and it's like, it's kind of messed up because they're showing like all these terrorist groups. Okay, there's like several organizations out there. Islamic Jihad, people think Hezbollah, Hamas, Al-Qaeda. There's so many. How do you know which one is the best one to join? Like, if you choose to join a terrorist organization, how do you know which one is the best one to join? Is it like rushing a fraternity? I think they have recruiters. These guys sitting outside of the mosque going up to these little Muslim boys. Come here, Habibi, come here, come here. I want to talk to you, come here. Don't go to Al-Qaeda, they are shit. Come to the Islamic Brotherhood. Why, you ask? Oh, they only promise you 72 virgin. We'll give you 72 virgin, one whore. And a goat.
You guys have been fun. God bless you. Thank you.
No, she did not tell you that. Tell me she did not tell you. No, she did not tell you that. No, she did not. No.
Palestine, Aaron Cater.
Well, you guys, thanks for coming out. What a beautiful crowd, beautiful crowd, beautiful, beautiful. Thanks for coming. My name's Aaron Cater. I'm a Palestinian. Any Palestinians here? Hey, Ahlan wa sahlan. Yeah, usually Arabs don't come to a comedy show. I mean, it's really difficult. I mean, in the past, Arabs would come to the comedy show, but they'd sit in the back in the dark and go, yeah, that was funny. I like that. That's very good. Very funny, very good. Hilarious, my friend. Seriously, that's almost very... You can almost hear me laugh. It's that good. It's that good. Yeah. Anyone who thinks Arabs don't have a sense of humor, I will kill you and burn your flag. I will do it. We have a very good sense of humor.
My grandfather, when he immigrated to this country, his name was Abu Khadir. But then at Ellis Island, they changed his name to Cater. So my last name's Cater. So if I ever have a child, if it's a boy, I'll definitely name him Al. Al Cater. It's a good name. Yeah. If I have a girl, I'll name her Darth. Darth Cater. That's a sweet name. Yeah. My dad comes from a Palestinian family, and my mom comes from a Mormon family from Utah. Yeah. Any Palestinian Mormons here? Mormons are another group that never comes to see comedy. They just feel guilty immediately if they laugh. You know, they're like,
what am I doing?
Yeah. I got a cousin named Jihad. Any Jihads here? It's a very popular name in the late 70s. I got a cousin named Jihad. He takes the bus now everywhere. Can't fly. He called me from a Greyhound station, seriously. And he calls me and he's like, "This sucks, they're frisking me and ID me and looking at me funny. Screw this, man, I'm changing my name to Raymond." That's good, now your name's Raymond. Abdul Majid. That doesn't change anything. Thank you. Yeah. Growing up Palestinian, two people would be like, "What are you, Greek, Italian, Jewish? What are you?" Palestinian. Pakistillian? What the hell is a Pakistillian? Pakistillia, that sounds made up. So where is Pakistillia? They're like, "There's no such country as Pakistillia." I guess there's no Palestine either. You ever heard of Israel? Oh, so you're Jewish. How many rocks do we have to throw? Goddamn! I mean, come on! I mean, we're responsible for like half the terrorism in the last 50 years, huh? Let's pronounce it right. Palestine, Palestine, Palestine. Jeez, hurry. Whatever, Jew. Jeez. Never looked at a map. When I turned 19, the Mormons asked me, they pulled me aside. They didn't want me to feel left out. So the Mormons asked me if I wanted to be one of those Mormon missionaries. You know, the Mormon missionaries? I ride a bike and wear a name tag and sleep in a bunk bed with another boy for 2 years. I part my hair on one side, and I read one book, and now I get it, you know? And they asked me to be that guy. They're like, "Have you thought about going on a mission?" And I went, "Yeah, look, to an Arab, a mission's a whole different deal." Generally, we don't come back from those. Thanks for asking. I have my own little mission, my own little personal mission, which is to go back to the homeland, right? Go see where my grandma came from, go visit. I got hundreds of cousins that I've just heard about, you know, never met. So, you know, over the years, I've been there a few times. Most recently, I was back in the Middle East. And anybody here ever been to the Middle East? Yeah? That's great. See, because we got Middle Eastern people here. But generally, if somebody says I've been to the Middle East, it's like, Marine, Army, Navy, Air Force, which one? But, you know, I went over there after 9/11, and I was visiting a cousin in Amman, Jordan, right? And I'm driving around with my cousin who's like all bitching and moaning about America, right? "You son of a bitch, America. America, I think you're so strong, so powerful, so big and strong." And Arabs love to cuss in English. They cuss their heads off in English. They won't do it in Arabic because then God could hear them, you know? But in English, no problem. God doesn't speak English. "You know, you son of a bitch bastard, United States, think you're so big and strong and powerful. This is bullshit. United States, you are a paper tiger. You will fall. You will see." "You hungry? You want something to eat? You hungry? We got Burger King, McDonald's, Pizza Hut, Applebee's. There's a new place called TAIF Fridays. Looks good. You don't want? You look tired. You want coffee? We got Starbucks. You like a Starbucks? The Starbucks, I like that place. They got the Frappuccino. I like that. That's a good. Have you had? You've had back in the United States. You fucking son of a bitch. United States think they own everything. Bullshit. Which hotel are you going to? Sheraton, Hilton, Marriott? What are you going?" And I had to stop my cousin in the middle of this, and I was like, "Listen, Fayez, if America goes down, we're taking Snickers and Coke and Pepsi and Twix. You know, we're not leaving a McNugget behind. You understand? We go down, it all goes down with us." And he got mad, stops the car. No. "You leave these things. Leave the Skittle and Kit Kat and the Baby Ruth. You want to take something? Take KFC. I don't like the honey wings." "What the hell is a honey wing? Like honey flies with wings. That's American propaganda bullshit. That's what that is." That's when I realized how America dominates, man. America just dominates with products. Like, I climbed the top of Mount Sinai, where Moses spoke to God. Who did I speak to?
a little Egyptian kid with an igloo cooler going, Lipton, Pepsi, Snickers, yeah, you want? Huh? Yeah. How mystical and magical up here. I'll have a Snickers, sure. But that's how we do it. We just have product. I mean, you have 100% chance anywhere on earth of finding a Coke. You'll never go without a Coke or a Pepsi or a Snickers, man. You can find it 100% of the time everywhere. You know, you have better than a 50-50 shot of finding a McDonald's. I mean, other ethnicities, they can't find that. I mean, like, there's a Chinatown in every big city in North America, but they don't have a candy bar that sells very well. You know what I mean? They don't have, I mean, the only reason I can think of is that we don't like sesame seeds in our candy bars, right? But other than that, there's a Chinatown in every big, I mean, how many Chinatowns do you need to see, right? Once you've seen one Chinatown, you've kind of seen them all. There's green dragons and orange chicken and peanut sauce. I get it, you know. But people are always trying to push you into Chinatown. Go to Chinatown. Go check out. Chinatown's pretty sweet. Have you seen Chinatown? It's like, you've seen it. I'd like to go to China and find, like, you know, Americaville. You know, USA town right here. Come on in, man. We got burgers and fries and... We got the satellite dish on with the game, and Chevy's parked out back. It's Shangri-La. It's China. Let's do it, man. We're chopping wood and burning it. But Americans don't really leave this country to go set up little American communities in other countries, do we? But we do it. We call them military bases. It's a different way of spreading our thing. We have military bases in 149 countries, and I was like, I didn't know there were 149 countries on Earth. That's a lot of countries. I like the way we went to war, because I like every time Bush approaches the podium, he does one of these. Always has his hands out. I don't know why, but he always gets that look in his face before he talks, like... That look in his eye, right? Like, I'm about to say some shit. All right? I'm serious. This is Bush's serious face. I'm serious. Like, why are you smiling? Because I'm serious. Remember, we went to war. Like, he comes out and he looks at the pony. He looks right in the camera. He goes, hey, Saddam. Hey. I'm like, what, is Saddam in Baghdad watching CNN? Like, oh my God, is he talking to me? Holy crap, man. Go order some pizza. Let's TiVo this. Look. The president is threatening me. But hey, Saddam, we're sick and tired of your games. Understand? Sick and tired. He gets so sick and tired. You can always sense it when he's in a press conference, because when he gets questions, he always does this. That's a serious problem. We'll take care of it. Next question. Wow. I wish Bush would get it. I mean, sometimes Bush deflects questions. You know, like, he'll get the question and he'll just deflect it all together and just say some things we already know. Like, you know, look, you want to get somewhere? You walk or you run. You understand? Like, we're stupid. You know what I mean? You get on a bus or a bike or a motorcycle or a train or a car. There's only so many ways you can go, all right? Or you fly. Next question. Thanks. Thanks, Dr. Phil. Clears that situation up. I wish Bush would snap at a press conference one time. Wouldn't it be great if he just, like, lost his cool? Like, he was at an outdoor press conference, lost his speech in the wind, his little earpiece falls out, and he has to improvise. You know, gets that one question from Helen Thomas he doesn't want to deal with. You know, just goes, how about fuck you, all right? How about that? You fuck you, all right? They're brown, sane people. Hey, they should get all that sand together and make themselves some body scrub. Exfoliate themselves. They're all motherfuckers, trust me. Next question. If Bush just came out and called everybody in the Middle East a motherfucker, don't you think half of America, maybe more than half, would go, I like that right there. That's honest. I appreciate it. All right, you guys, thanks for coming out tonight. Thanks.
Yeah. 13 going on 30.
Yep.
Friday after next.
Yep.
Uh-huh. The Interpreter.
Guilty.
I ain't like none of them movies. You having a check.
Wait, cavity check! Oh, hey, wait. Will this help with that?
Nah, I like that kind of movie. Go on through, baby.
All right. From the suburbs of Iran, Monster Bernie.
Iranian of the group. I'm the Iranian.
Woo! Ow!
Woo!
Iran! Iran!
That's what we chant at soccer games. Yeah, I'm the Iranian. It's funny because people, I tell them, my American friends, I go, yeah, I'm Iranian. They go, oh, so you're Arab. And I'm like, no, we're actually different. We're not Arab. But, you know, I mean, we're similar. You know, we're all getting shot at. You know, that's one thing. But, you know, but Iranians are actually, ethnically, we're actually, you know, we're Aryan. We're white. We're white, so stop shooting. You know, that's what I'm trying to... And then my American friends go, well, how can we tell you apart? How can... And I go, well, it's in the accent. It's in the accent. Iranians, when Iranians speak, they talk a lot slower. Iranians talk like this. Iranians talk like this. We talk very slow, like, you know, maybe we just shot some heroin. We are falling asleep. How are you? How are you? I am Iranian. How are you? How are you? It's Iranian. Okie dokie. It's Iranian. Take it easy. Don't worry about it. I'm Iranian. And Arab talk a lot faster. Arab talk like they're just some cocaine. They're talking. How are you? How are you? Iranian is slow. Iranian, we like, you know, we Iranian don't even say they're Iranian. Iranian say they're Persian. Iranian, we say we are Persian. You know, it sounds nicer and friendlier. We even smile. When we say we're Persian, we smile. I am Persian. I am not dangerous. I am Persian. Like the cat. Meow. I am the cat. Meow! I am Persian, like the rug. Hello? Rug, colorful, hand-woven. Arab faster. Arab a lot faster. And it's funny, too, because Arab, like, my friends, like, Ahmed, these guys, like, when they speak perfect English, no accent, but when they say the word Arab, they get very guttural, very, you know, they're very proud to be Arab. And it's weird. It's very violent. Like, I was like, hey, dude, where are you from again? He's like, me? What am I? Me? I'm Arab! I was like, what the hell? Like, calm down. I'm Arab, all right! I am Persian. Meow. Iranians too, like, you know, we're very sneaky about, we're like, I am Persian. Okay, we have a nuclear program. Okay, we have, but it is a peaceful nuclear program. Peaceful. If we blow you up, then we hug you. Come on. Take it easy. Oh my God. Yeah. But no, we are very similar now, man. We are. I know you guys get like, I get like stupid questions. I know you do too. Like people think just because I'm from the Middle East, I'm an expert on the Middle East. So like, I got a friend, like anytime the gas prices go up, he'll always ask my opinion about it. He'll always corner me. Hey Maz, in your opinion, what's going on with this gas thing? What's going to happen? What's going on? 50 words or less. Break it down, would you? You're my Middle Eastern friend. I'm like, dude, I don't work at OPEC. I don't know. I pay the same price as you, you know? Like, I don't have, like, a discount pump at the gas station. You know, I don't walk in like Hassan Hussein discount pump. Oh, trade my friend, fantastic.
Yeah.
Fuck America, huh? Yeah, okay. I get stupid questions. Same guy thinks that I know when the next terrorist hit is going down. He'll ask my opinion about it. He'll be, hey, Maz, what's the word on the street? I'm like, what street, dude? He's like, bro, I've been watching CNN. I know you know somebody. What's going on? I tell him, dude, I don't know any terrorists, okay? I never met one or talked to one, not even accidentally. You know, never been home late one night, gotten a phone call, picked it up and heard like, hello, Hassan, it goes down tomorrow at midnight. Who is this? Oops, sorry, wrong number. Even back. It's funny because I do get those questions, and I did that joke one night at a show, and another friend of mine was at the show, and then he emailed me the next day. He was joking with me, emailed me on my Hotmail. He said, hey, Maz, had a great time last night at the show. By the way, when's the next terrorist hit going down? Ha ha. So I got on my Hotmail and I was like, well, I'm not being flagged. I can respond, right? So I was like, hey, man, I've been talking to Al-Qaeda and the next terrorist hit is going down the Lower East Side of Iceland. Ha ha. Send. Yeah, next day, tried to log on to Hotmail. Account closed. Access denied. I was like, oh, my God, I got flagged. I was freaking out and I tried to contact Hotmail, you know, to tell them I'm a comic. I put ha ha. Al-Qaeda doesn't put ha-ha, right? Al-Qaeda doesn't send emails, American pigs must die. Ha-ha, they don't do that. They don't, like, forward emails, you know, Mustafa, you're gonna love this one. LOL, laugh out loud. They don't do that. And I tried to contact Hotmail, but they don't have a phone number. Go home, try and look it up. There's no phone number for Hotmail. So I found out who owned them, Microsoft Network. I called them up. I said, hello, Microsoft. You know, I'm having some problems. I'm a comic, and I tried to explain. They go, well, we can't help you out, but we'll put you through to someone who can. And I swear, I think they passed me through to Iraq, I think. Because, you know, because it used to be, you know, they would send you to India for tech support, you know. But I think Iraq is cheaper now, I swear to God. Because like, you know, I know the accent, you know, if it were India, it'd be like, hello, what is going on? You're having trouble with your Hotmail, let's take care of it, you know. But it wasn't, it was an Arabic accent, like, what is going on? And I think it was Iraq, because she was in a rush to get me off the phone, like there was a war going on in the background. I swear, she was like, what, you're having trouble with your Hotmail? There's a fucking war going on here! Just because you put ha-ha doesn't make it funny. All right, you're heckling me from Iraq. What's up? No, but then, and then it took me weeks. They said send emails. I had to send emails back and forth. Weeks, weeks, weeks. Finally, I'm on the internet. I'm so happy I'm back. But I'm freaked out on the internet. You guys should be too. Don't joke on the internet, okay? Like, I'm on that MySpace now, and you can go and, you know, join my MySpace, you know, myspace.com/MazJobrani. Yeah, yes, yeah. Add me as a friend. We can be friends, but don't send me an email going like, hey, Maz, when's the next terrorist hit going down? Because I'll respond, fuck you, I'm a patriot. You're looking for Ahmed Ahmed. Oh, my God. But no, what I love about what we do with our show, you guys, is all about putting out the positive and expressing that we can come together and laugh. You know, like I always talk about this. You know, I'm originally Muslim, but I have friends from all religions, all ethnicities. And I've told them, man, you're celebrating in your religion. Let me know. I'm coming. I'm celebrating with you. And I've done it. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, man. I have Christian friends and Baha'i friends and Jewish friends, all of them. I celebrate. And my Jewish friend one time actually invited me over for Shabbat dinner one time, Friday night. Yes, I went. It was a great time. Gave me a matzo ball. I ate it. It was delicious. It was. Gave me a yarmulke. I put it on. It was cool. Yeah, but it was weird because as soon as I put on the yarmulke, I started coming up with business ideas. Is that supposed to happen? My IQ increased by 20 points. My bank account doubled. It was strange. No, actually, I did come up with business ideas. So I put on the yarmulke and I'm bald. It started sliding. I was like, dude, you need like a Velcro yarmulke. And he's like, we can't do that. I go, okay, how about a suction cup yarmulke? That's a brilliant idea. Just lick it and have a nagila. No, man, it is. It's cool, though. You know, but like, and the thing that frustrates me is when I see us on TV nowadays, who they always show? They always show the crazy dude burning the American flag going, death to America! Always that guy. Just once, I wish they would show us doing something good, man. Right? Just once, right? Yeah, man. Right? show us doing something good, like, you know, like baking a cookie or something, right? Because I've been to Iran. We have cookies. Just once, I want CNN to be like, now we're going to go to Mohammed in Iran. They go to some guys like, hello, I'm Mohammed. And I'm just baking a cookie. I swear to God, no bombs, no flags, nothing. Back to you, Bob. To the whole news piece. They're never going to do that. Even if they ever did that, they followed up with another news piece. They'd be like, this just in, a cookie bomb just exploded. Mohammed, you sneaky Parajan. Always, we get the bad end. Like in the World Cup. You guys watched the World Cup? You saw the World Cup, right? Right? The famous headbutt, you saw the headbutt, right? And it was the French dude, Zinedine Zidane, and the Italian dude, Materazzi, and they were, it looked peaceful, and they were walking back, and Materazzi grabbed Zidane's jersey, you know, and Zidane turned to him and was like, you can have it after the game, you know, like to say like, oh, you are gay, let's go, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, and the Italian guy was like, hey, I'd rather bang your sister. That's what he said. Yeah, and Zidane was like, you don't talk about my sister like that, you know? And he went over and he headbutted him, boom, right in the chest, and the Italian guy was like, ow, that hurt, and he went down. Yeah. But what I observed as a Middle Easterner, I watched the French reaction. And before the whole thing, the French loved Zidane. They were like, we love Zinedine Zidane. Zinedine Zidane is one of us. He's a French champion. We love him. He's the best Zinedine Zidane. We call him Zizou. He is the champ. We love him. After the headbutt, they're like, this fucking guy is Algerian. He's Muslim. We should have known it all along. They're all crazy. We get the bad rap, man. You know who's doing well in breaking stereotypes, mainstream media, and I'm proud of them, are Asians. Breaking stereotypes, mainstream media. This is how I figured this one out. I was watching. There was a car commercial for Mercedes-Benz. And the drivers of the car in the commercial were Asian. Yeah, how crazy is that? Right, because the stereotype is Asians can't drive. That's the stereotype, right? But Mercedes was like, no, they can drive. They will drive. They'll drive our cars. Right? And I mean, if you want to read between the lines, you could say Mercedes was making a racist statement, you know. You could say Mercedes was saying, hey, we're a safe car. So safe, even Asians can drive it. But at least there's Asians in commercials breaking stereotypes, right? Middle Easterners aren't breaking stereotypes, not in commercials, right? You never turn on the TV, see like a United Airlines commercial with a Middle Eastern pilot. Right, you never see me standing there go like, come, fly, the friendly skies. I dare you. And here's my thing, too. People are cool, man. People are cool. Politicians mess it up. Politicians put us all against each other, man. I don't like any of them. Ours, theirs, none of them. Like, Bush, I can't believe he's the president. Even if you voted for him, you gotta admit, every time he's on TV, he just doesn't look presidential. He does. Every time Bush is on TV, I'm watching, I'm like, he's not the president. Someone's pulling our legs. Someone's messing with us. Every time I see Bush on TV, I'm waiting for Ashton Kutcher to run out. Be like, you've all been punked. Right? Osama comes running out of a cave. He's like, I was in on it too. Right? Makes sense. Osama has been hiding for 6 years. Think about it. That's a good hider, people. That guy's a great, like, I can't hide for more than 6 minutes. This guy's doing it for 6 years. Osama's like the Michael Jordan of hiders. Think about it. I bet you coming out of high school, he was voted most likely to hide. Right? Like, I bet you as a kid, whenever he was going to play hide and seek, the other kids were pissed because he knew the game was going to take forever. Right? They'd be like, what, you let Osama play? Ah, shit. The game's going to take 6 years, you know. Okay, fine. Go hide. I'll count, asshole. One, two. We're going to miss our high school graduation. Three, four. He's so tall. How does he do it? 5, 6, he's just gonna hide in a cave again. 7, 8, and put out the videotapes. Osama, actually, I heard recently, he put out a magazine called Jihad Magazine. He did. And like, what? I'm like, what kind of articles are in that? Like, what? Like, you know, what is it, like, 50 ways to lose weight? Number one, blow yourself up. They're like, Mustafa lost 200 pounds in 1 second. Iran. Politicians of Iran are talking shit to America. Why would you talk shit to America? America has recently bombed your neighbors. America's bombed Iraq and Afghanistan. Iran is in the middle. It's a good time to be quiet. Right? It's like being in a nightclub and the bouncer's knocked out your friends and you're still talking shit, right? Come on. I'll tell you why Iran is talking shit. There's a lot of opium usage in Iran. Yes, the politicians are high. You have to be high to talk shit to America. Because opium's supposed to mellow you out, but I think it also makes you delusional. I do. I think they're getting high and they're going, hey, you know what we should do? Let's call America. Give me the phone. Let me talk. I feel good. Let me talk. Hello, America. Fuck you. Bring it on, bitch. We kick your ass. And then they hang up and they go, hey, guys, do we have a military? Oh, we don't. Oh, America, just kidding. I am Persian. Meow.
Don't you.
The next day, the president of Iran's like, did I drunk dial Bush again last night? Stop drunk dialing Bush. That's the beauty of this country, guys. We can have these debates. We can talk about this. We should be critical of government, of politicians. You should be. And that's the beauty of this country. And that's why we have to have these open debates. Like, I couldn't be making fun of the president of Iran in Iran. Right? You'd be like, hey, Maz, that was a good show. When's your next show? I'd be like, there are no more shows. The ministry of no show showed up. My next show will be in prison. I'll be performing like this. You know, I did this one joke. And, they didn't like it. I was expressing myself one night at a comedy club and talking about peace, and this one guy disagreed with me, and he starts going, boo! And I go, you're booing peace? He goes, yeah. And I go, you're an idiot. He goes, you're an idiot. I go, I'm gonna kick your ass. He goes, I'm gonna kick your ass. And I started losing control, and I was like, whoa, wait a minute. I started talking about peace, and I'm losing myself? What's going on? And I had to stop and think, did my, like, heroes of peace ever lose it? Did Martin Luther King Jr. ever just lose it? Did Gandhi ever lose it, right? Did anyone ever say something to Gandhi where he's like, all right, that's it, the loincloth is coming off. Let's go. Hold on to these sandals while I kick his ass. Let's go. Come on. Oh, my God, I can't fight. You're lucky I only had 2 grains of rice today. I'm so tired. Speaking of Indian, I got married to an Indian woman a year ago. Beautiful. Beautiful Indian woman.
I have to clarify, because people go, well, Indian, like, woo, or Indian, like, you know, and I always got to say, no, not casino Indian, computer Indian. You know what I'm saying? Yes. I married tech support. That's right. Anytime I got a computer problem, honey, Windows XP isn't working. She's like, I will take care of it. You know, and she does. No, she doesn't talk like that. She grew up here. But that's a fun accent to do. Anytime you feel sad, just go, ha da 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 da. It'll cheer you up. I swear to God.
Okay, I'm going to leave you guys with this real quickly. Please, I always say this. Please, stop blaming Middle Easterners for everything, okay? And I always say, it's not always us, right? It is not always us, okay? I mean, quite often it is, but not always. We get blamed for everything. Whatever happened, like there was a blackout in New York a few years ago. The news came on, they're like, there's been a blackout. Terrorists might have been involved. And then a week later, they're like, oops, sorry, just Enron, right? Like, there's a traffic jam on the 5. Terrorists might be involved. Oops, sorry, just cars, you know? It's like, and it started with the anthrax. Remember the anthrax they tried to blame on us? I knew that wasn't a Middle Easterner. That's not how the Middle Easterners work, right? Middle Easterners be like, what? Do you want me to put the anthrax in the envelope, put the stamp on the envelope, and mail it? No. That is not how I do it. No. Can I wrap the anthrax around myself if I run into somebody? That is how I do it. You know, 1, 2, bang, like that. You know what I'm saying? I can get 2 people. 1, 2, that's it. Anymore, I hurt my back. 1, 2, ow, it hurts. I've been in a cave for 6 years with Osama. I'm old. We all know who did the anthrax. It was some hillbilly dude. You know, some redneck was like, right about now is a good time to send out some anthrax. Blame the goddamn Arabs. That's what I'll do. Blame them goddamn kebab-eating, Mercedes-Benz driving, camel riding, 7-Eleven owning, Slurpee selling, gas price raising, unibrow connected, hairy chested motherfuckers. Right? What? You know it was, and they have not caught him yet. I hope they catch that guy eventually, because that'll make everyone realize we got haters of all kinds, you guys. White, black, Asian, Middle Eastern, Latin, all kinds of haters. And what we have to do as a people is counter the hate with some love, right? Yes. Spread the love, man. Right? I mean, they were going around. They were putting anthrax in the mail. They were putting anthrax in the water. Hey, man, you want to put something in my water? Put some ecstasy in my water. That's the kind of terrorist I'm looking for. Right? I drink the water. I'm like this.
Thank you.